Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Fungula. My guest this week is my good friend Fortune Feimster. We call each other texties because we wanted to be besties at one point and then we never hung out. We would only text each other, so then we became texties. So I have my textie Fortune Feimster, who you may know from her comedy specials. Her most recent one is called Crushing It on Netflix right now. Also her TV show on Netflix where she plays an action star with Arnold Schwarzenegger called Fubar, second season, dropping soon. She is so funny, so talented. She joins us today talking about her gratitudes. I'll be honest, we forgot Mattitude. We just jumped right into gratitude and loved it. But we talk about her gratitude for her home, her body doing what she wants it to do, her family, her career, and we share some really great stories from her career that I love. And I think you're really gonna enjoy this episode. And don't forget to like and subscribe, go to my website, look at my tour dates, because my tour starts next week. So excited. Here we come, the family reunion tour. Get your tickets, angela.com. Don't forget to leave us a review on the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube, all of that stuff. Tell everybody why you love Fungula so much. And enjoy this episode with Fortune Feimster. Oh, wait, I have something else. Danielle's okay. Giving me an eyeball. Like, hello, you forgot 10 things.
What did I was I like, do you want to tell them the phone number?
Oh, that's right. If you want to call and tell me what you're grateful for, here's the phone number.
747-300-5380.
There it is. Call me. Tell me what you're grateful for. Don't forget to tell me your name in your message when you leave me your message. And here is your episode with Fortune Feimster. Also forgot, Fortune is going on tour. Go to fortunefeimster.com and you can see all the cities that she's coming to. If you've never been to a Fortune show, I highly recommend. It's rare that we get to go to each other's shows when we're all touring headliners, but I was lucky enough to go to her show at the Ryman in Nashville. So good. So fun. Her ability to do crowd work with her fans, like, it was just such a good time. So go see Fortune on the road. Go to her website and get tickets. Okay, bye. Oh, my gosh. Look what came up on Time Hop. Do you still do Time Hop?
No. I don't know what it is.
You never did it? Years ago.
Oh, yeah? And like, memories?
Yeah. It's an app that pulls all the things you've ever posted on any platform. Uh-huh. And then it reminds you, like, 8 years ago.
As long as you posted good this. Memories.
Yeah. Look at this one. Hold on.
Or embarrassing. We're like, wow, I can't believe I posted
this. This is 8 years ago.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
This is that. Like on Monday. It just sent me that.
That is so
show
funny.
The camera.
Yeah. I'll it's put a it. Photo. I'll send it to you. We'll post it. On the
it's a photo
thing.
Of Ange. And, if you're listening, it's a photo of Ange and Fortune. And whose dog is that?
That's Fortune's dog?
That was our dog. But Maddie, but she lives with Jax's sister.
Really?
Yeah, because she hated LA. Oh, hated the dog. City life. Hated
She's like,
Tori.
You know what? This fast-paced life is not for me.
honestly, and her sister watched her during the pandemic while things were starting to open up and we had to tour for like 2 months.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get her and they fell madly in love.
Aww.
And when we went to get her, she was like not having it. Because they live on a farm and she's like obsessed with like the land and running around and the neighbors feed her treats. We see her all the time and she's great. It was weird to be like, is this?
Yeah.
This feels weird. But it was the right thing for her by 1,000%.
For sure. For sure. Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
That's so
that's
nice.
Sweet for them that they found.
Yeah.
Their
like
person.
Soul, it's like her soul dog.
Yeah. Was this dog originally your dog or Jax's dog or you guys got it together?
Together.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There's like, you know, you hear different people. This was my dog that I brought into the relationship. Yeah. And then like, if that doesn't work out, then it's like, well, I'm taking my dog back. But but it's been our dog
for
5 years. Yeah. But I brought this dog.
It does make me think of that scene from Legally Blonde when she's...
Remind.
You know, the girl, Jennifer Coolidge's character, she breaks up and she's like, he's got my dog. And so like the whole thing is she goes back and she's like, I'm taking my dog.
Yeah, that's right.
That's her whole thing.
Well, in this instance, I felt like we were the vessels to bring her to Jax's sister.
Yeah. Well, look at that. Aww. Look at that.
That all works out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember that day. That was us meeting up when we were trying to be best friends.
That's right.
We were like, I like you. I like you.
I like you.
We should be like best friends. And we went to like one coffee date.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh my God, we love each other so much. We're going to be besties. And then never hung out again.
Because you and I are literally always on the road.
Yeah.
And we were never home.
That's when we coined our relationship as texties, because we would just text each other only. Yeah.
But you would keep it real and like actually call me and like leave a nice voicemail.
Yeah.
Like you actually
I care about
up
you.
The phone. Yeah. No, people don't do that.
I know. Especially in this day of like calling people is like such a taboo.
Yeah.
Or it's like, oh my God, you're showing your age if you call somebody. And I called another person recently.
Yeah.
And another comedian, and her voicemail greeting was, why are you calling me?
That's pretty funny. It is jarring when a person that's not like a rep or a family member calls.
Yeah. You're
like,
yeah.
What is this?
Yeah.
What is happening?
What's going on? And then it'll be a message from me going, hey.
Hey, just checking in on you. It was very sweet. I love it.
Yeah.
And then you were nice enough to have lunch with Jax and I before I did my big first, or was about to do my first theater tour.
Uh-huh.
And then the world shut down like 5 days later for the pandemic.
We went and sat at On the 30 restaurant in Sherman Oaks.
Yep.
And I had Jaki at the time as my road manager. And we sat down and basically downloaded as much as we could to Fortune and Jax to let them know, like, okay, this is how you tour.
Yeah.
This is how you communicate with, you know, the venues. This is how you, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And we loved it. Like,
yeah, it was fun. It was very helpful for us because I had just been doing clubs for many years. But at clubs, you just show up.
Yeah.
And everything's done and you just do your thing and leave. But this was like, oh, I'm in charge of a lot of things now. And that was so helpful. And that first tour was when things opened back up, we used a lot of that information and put it into practice. And then on the second tour, I got in the pocket.
Where
now I know what I'm doing.
And now look at you selling out. Just Fortune Textie, I'm so proud of you. And I say that, like, I know sometimes it's some people have a hard time hearing that from a peer. Like, it sounds like something you would hear from like an older person down. I'm proud of you. But like, as a peer, I am so proud of how far you've come, the type of work that you do.
Thank you.
Your comedic voice, your ability. You talk for a living in your stand-up, on your radio show, on your podcast. Like, you share so much of yourself.
Yeah.
You're so talented, but also in that same breath, you are so likable. Like, there's a lot of talented people that are not likable.
Right.
But they're funny or they're, you know, a great singer or whatever. But like, you have talent, but you're also so special.
Oh, thank you, my
like,
friend.
Like, that is, like, the only way I can describe, like, you as a person is so special. And just you have that where you walk into a room and you're like, I should know this person. You
well,
know what I mean?
Hey, that means a lot. I appreciate that. I think I just, I don't know how else to be but myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so, if people like that, I'm like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I don't. That probably took a lot of years of being an awkward teen and a closeted lesbian who had no idea who she was and not the object of affection.
Yep.
Just having to develop a personality. And just, you know, trying to figure out a way to make people laugh and be happy. That, but you know, that probably stems back from my own childhood of just trying to make people happy during hard times.
Uh-huh.
Being the court jester, you know, I think of like, let me distract everyone from chaos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's funny that it's a living now, but I love it so much.
Does it ever blow your mind? I think every now and then, like, you know, because we're both touring stand-up comedians, yeah, amongst other things, right? In that vocation of a touring stand-up comedian, we just get in our go, this date, mm-hmm, this, you know, get on, yeah, a plane, and then this press, and then you got to promote, and then you got to do this and that, and you get into your whatever. And, yeah, then every now and then I will pause and I'll be like, wait a minute. My job is to talk about my life,
yeah,
with strangers, and they care about my life.
Yeah.
And it hits me so hard that I cannot believe, mm-hmm, that this is my job that I get to, yeah, do. How did I get so lucky?
And you crush it.
You know what I mean?
And you,
like,
have a funny life.
It's, and that's the thing. Is it a funny life, or it's just life and we know how to make it funny?
You know how to, you definitely know how to make it funny.
For,
yeah,
people. And then they find the funny in their own life, right, when they relate to something that you said. Yeah. They're like, oh my gosh, me too. Oh, my husband, yeah, too. Oh, mm-hmm, you know, that kind, yeah, of thing. Yeah.
I know, it is wild because my life feels so boring.
Right. It feels regular. I, yeah, do this, I do that, I do that.
And I can't believe, yeah, I'm starting to run out of material though. Because all I do is work. So, yeah, I'm like, gosh, I don't know what else to talk about anymore.
I mean, you talk on three different places, ugh, like, and I'm regularly.
Just, I don't know. There are some days where I'm like, I got nothing.
Yeah.
But somehow if people ask me questions, it somehow pulls it out of me. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even remember that story, or I didn't know where that came from. Or, yeah, it's just like when you work so much, you do have to, like, consciously, like, remember to live in, yes, a weird way. Mm-hmm. Work-life balance has been kind of on my vision board for a minute.
Yeah, yeah, for like the past 6 years.
Yeah. So that, for my own mental health, but also it does help with stand-up to,
for sure,
not just talk about planes, trains, and automobiles. Uh-huh. And yeah, it is kind of crazy to, it's crazy to me when you talk about, like, thinking about, that's our job to talk about your life. It's crazy when I think about that we're on stage for an hour 20, whatever the, mm-hmm, set is, with just a microphone, and the whole place is attentive. Mm. That seems crazy. And if you had told me, you know, when I started that I could get 3,000 people to listen and not, and, you know, I would have been like, there's no way. Yeah,
right.
There's no way. And how would I do that? And what would I talk about? So it's such a blessing to, like, be at this point in our careers where we're like, no, that's what we do. And we, yeah, figured it out. And the fact that people care is a huge part of that.
Yeah.
And I am so grateful.
Yes.
They support us.
Yeah.
You know,
I have a challenge for us for our next,
what is it,
theater shows that we do. I just was seeing this, like, while you were talking, is, like, when we're standing in front of, you know, 3,000 people or whatever the theater is that we're standing in front of, I at least don't personally think, like, oh, 3,000 people are looking at me right now. I'm just out there in my zone. I'm telling my jokes. Right. And then I'm making eye contact with this person at a time. Like, I can only make eye contact with one person at a time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm doing that. My challenge for us is to, when we're on stage, pause for a second,
uh-huh,
and just be present in the moment and look out into the audience in a moment of silence, like, yeah, not like moment of silence, please, but, right, like, in a transition, you know what I mean? And take in,
yeah,
all of these eyes are staring at you right now. Yeah. Nothing's being said in this moment. It's a quiet moment because, yeah, we're about to say something else, but just take in all of these eyes, like how you were saying, like, they're, yeah, attentive.
Yeah.
Like, 6,000 eyeballs at that point, because two each, hopefully. I'm sure there's some that are rocking one, and that's great. Thank you for coming.
Yes.
But, like, this many eyeballs is just, yeah, looking at you right now.
It's crazy. I had a moment like that at the Chicago Theater, because that was a bucket list theater for me. One, because I met Jax in Chicago, and I saw Carol Burnett at that theater. Oh, wow. And such an iconic theater. And I took that, like, minute not a minute. That would have felt like a long time.
They're all, is she okay? Is she having a stroke?
5 seconds to just be like, dang, this is cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, even if it weren't to that level, if it was just a club, just anybody that gives a crap.
Absolutely.
In these days, you know, like, so many people don't care about so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so much apathy that I'll take any love that comes my way.
I think also early on in our careers, when nobody knew our names and there would be, you know, you're at a club or whatever, and there's your name on, you know, the sign out front, and nobody knows who it is. And somebody walked by and said, I'll buy a ticket.
Yeah.
I'll come check it out.
Yeah.
Like, thank you to that person.
Thank you to that person. I also have had a early days, a whole couple tables of people stand up and walk out. Yeah.
I just had that this last weekend. These two people got up I was 15 minutes into the set.
I forgot, yeah.
15 minutes into the set, and these two people just got up and started walking out. They're like, meh. And I'm all, oh.
You're like, wait.
Okay.
I'll never forget that. I was in Kansas City, I think in the improv there, and I think I got like 10 minutes into my set, you know, came out swinging with a gay joke. And a table of four, an older like double date couple, just got right up and walked the heck out. And I was like, noted. But I'm also like, if you didn't like the first 10, you're not gonna like the last 50.
Yeah, for sure.
So go get your money back.
We did not realize she was a homosexual.
We are not supporting homosexuals with our money. We'd rather go to the Cheesecake Factory.
Okay.
And honestly, that's a good cheesecake.
Yeah.
Go enjoy
it. You know what? We recently met a couple that own a cheesecake restaurant in New York. Where is it? In
Albany,
New York.
Albany.
They were voted number 4 in the nation.
Whoa.
Yes.
That's good.
And there
cheesecake.
Was a moment where they were number 1.
Yes.
And then Cheesecake Factory
knocked them out.
Come on. Let the little guys win.
But they're amazing.
I think it was Machismo Cheesecake.
Yes, Machismo Cheesecake.
Bomb. So good.
Amazing. Okay. Check them out.
Next time I'm in Albany.
Yeah, for sure. And they may even deliver. Who knows? I don't know. But they, and it's a husband and wife, and they just do it themselves. And it's so good.
I love that.
I don't know how we got on that. Oh, you mentioned Cheesecake Factory. Yeah, yeah. No homosexuals. That's right.
No homo.
No homo.
Oh, Fortune, love you so much.
I love you, bud. You've
really
been killing
do.
It forever and paving the way for many of people.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I just, like you, I just do me, and hopefully people like it, and people have liked it for a long time, and I'm so grateful for that. Like, I can't believe, like how I was saying earlier, like, what? This is my job? And then put on it that I've been touring for like 18 years.
Yeah.
For 18 years, people still care what I have to say.
Yeah.
Ugh, I can't even. That's one of my gratitudes, is just.
You were like the OG of like the pictures with the big, a bunch of people.
The crowd.
The crowd in the background.
Yeah.
I was like, dang, look at Angela go.
Yeah, what even is this?
It's so cool. And then you start singing and dancing and doing all that stuff too. I'm like, I got comedy. That's it.
I just found an old joke. When I say found, my social media team found and sent it to me.
Yeah.
An old joke of mine that I hadn't seen in a while. It was in my first hour of comedy, and I didn't even get to record it in my hour special because there was a dance break where I full on start music and I start dancing. And my team at the time was like, we can't get the license to this.
You got
to cut this. You got to get this out of your set. So I never got to do that bit fully.
Yeah.
But it was recorded at some point. Yeah. Somebody recorded me doing it at a comedy club somewhere.
Oh, funny.
And they found it. I don't know how they found it. And this was one of Manny's favorite jokes of mine that he loved. And the whole bit is how I used to sneak into nightclubs when I was 14.
Uh-huh.
Like, I was one of those girls that as soon as I became a teenager, I immediately looked older than I was. Oh, like, really? I was wearing makeup and just, yeah. like, I don't know. I was, like, one of those girls that, like, dangerous. You know what I mean? Don't. Yeah. And so I would use a fake ID, mm-hmm. and I would go to the nightclubs.
To the club.
To the club. And I would just do my cheerleading choreography.
Really?
Because I was a cheerleader. So I would do, like, they would have, like, circles.
14-year-old leading the soul
yeah.
train.
Yeah. There'd be, like, circles everywhere, and there'd, like, some break dancers, or there'd be, like, you know, people, like, house dancing or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I would get in there and just be, like, 5, 6, 7, 8, and do, like, all my choreography. And then... And that was the bit that
Go
I did.
Tigers.
Is I did a whole thing about sneaking into the club when you're That's 14. Funny. And it was like, there's a reason why 14-year-olds are not allowed in nightclubs. Yeah. And then the music starts and I go into a full-on choreography. And
you can bring that back. You just have to find a free song.
Yeah, now I know. I could have easily just used a free song.
Yeah. It wasn't the same. It. Or Manny could make one for you.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
He does all the time. All
were
my
people
specials.
Into it? Like, were people like, loved. Go, girl, get it.
I think you should bring that
it's
back.
It's hilarious. They loved it.
Like, I mean, like, people in the club.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh. Back when I was young. I thought
you were
the audience.
No, I'm talking about people in the club who turned around and they're like, look at this chick.
No, I'm sure they probably were like, what is happening? I'm sure they hated it completely and was like, she for sure used a fake ID to get in here.
That is so funny.
Her mom is picking her up at the end of the night.
I love it.
That's wild.
Yeah. There was also another nightclub that opened up in San Jose, and it was like, it was 18 and under, so it was for young kids. And
never heard of such a thing.
I know.
Yeah, what? I forget what it was called.
I was like, do you mean high school prom?
No, yeah, basically like high school prom, but it was at a club. It was 18 and under, and my dad finally said that I could go, and he was going to drop me and my friend off. And I didn't know where it was. I was just given the address. This is before, like, oh, just Google it. Yeah. Like, so I was just given an address. And my dad takes us to an address, and it's an old Portuguese church. Oh. And I was all, maybe it's our church. All right, I guess. And I just get out of the car, and I start walking up to the church. And then I realize nobody's here. It's not at this church. I'm like, I don't think this is it. So I get back in the car. And then my dad keeps driving down the street, and there's the nightclub with a line of teenagers waiting to get in.
Wow.
So I go get in line with my friend to get in the club. We're just waiting in line, trying to be cool. My dad pulls his car around with his headlights on, flashing me the whole time, like not high beams, but just his headlights on. And me, I'm standing in line. How embarrassing. My dad's car is just waiting for me to get in the club with the lights of the car. On me the whole time. Like, he just has his eye. I'm just making sure I'm staying safe. But I was so embarrassed. I just got back in the car and left. I was like, this is embarrassing. My dad's standing here. Everybody sees my dad in his car. He wouldn't turn the headlights off. So I was like, forget it. Let's just go. And then we got in the car and left. I never got to go to the club.
Oh, never.
No.
Oh.
I never went back. I just kept sneaking into all the 18 and over and 21 and overs.
I'm like, because I have questions about this club. I'm like, are they back there just popping bottles of Coca-Cola? Like, what?
No, it's soda and a DJ.
There you go.
Wow.
And probably like popcorn or something.
You just want to dance.
Yeah, we just wanted to dance.
Okay.
Have a good time. It's like a school dance.
Yeah. I wonder if there were creepy people that tried to get in, though.
It was
now,
sick.
Now that's where my brain is going.
Yeah, sick, probably. Yeah.
There were simpler times. more innocent times back then.
Did you ever go to clubs growing up?
No, I was pretty boring.
Yeah.
I went some once I was, you know, the age, but I was never really a big club gal.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to dance or anything like that?
I like to dance, but I would go to like like school dances. Even in college we had school dances. I think when I moved to LA they would have like bars like in Santa Monica that would have like those bands that played like 80s music, and I love that kind of stuff. Like the throwback thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but not like club music.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now, no. I don't want to go to no club. Now.
No. Mm-hmm. Now I would be, like, so out of place.
Embarrassed.
The last time I think I went to a club, this was years ago, I was doing a show at the Venetian, and as if you do a show there, they're like, if you want to go to Towel or whatever
same.
It is.
Yeah, same. Yeah, yeah.
I was like,
they're like, you can go to Towel. I'm like, I don't want to go to Towel, like, by myself. And my sister-in-law's sister happened to be in town for her bachelorette. So they're like, we want to come to your show as part of the bachelorette. I'm like, all right. That's okay.
Don't
that's
get kicked out.
I go, that's what you want to do? Okay. And so they came and she had her sash and everything. And I said, well, as part of the show, they will take us to Towel. I guess that's what you do at a bachelorette. So a security guard like walked us through the casino, yeah. And they felt so cool.
Oh, that's so cool for them.
And so it gave me some rounding points. But yeah. One of her friend, not her, but a friend that's kind of adjacent to the group didn't bring her ID. And I didn't know any of this was going on, and they tried to do the old pass the ID down. I'm like, you can't do that in Vegas.
No.
They've got cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
And the guy just gave a look like, no, that's not, like, don't even try it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the girl was like, so she had to go back to, we all went in, and we're like, deuces.
Yeah, no, no.
And she had to go back to, you know, whatever. Everything looks like it's so close there, but it's not.
It's not.
It took like an hour. She went back to her own hotel, got her ID, and came back. But I'm just like, girl, don't be getting me in trouble
right.
in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They don't play here.
Nope. And Fortune's never invited back.
But that was my last club visit, yeah. I think.
Same. We did that too this last summer. Same thing. Played Venetian. Mm-hmm. Then you can go to Tao, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it was my husband's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
So we had a big group of friends come. Uh-huh. And we're not clubbers, but we're like, they're going to take us. Might as well. Let's just go. And we actually had a good time, thankfully.
With friends and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For sure. Yeah. If I would never want in a million years go to, like, be social and meet people.
No.
No.
And they'd be like, oh, hey, old lady, what are you doing here? But if your own friends are with you, then why not just jam a little bit.
Yeah, but and I would go like strictly
a little jamming.
I would go strictly to jam, like that's it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, let's just go to dinner so we can all talk.
I know, I love a dinner. I love a dinner. There's nothing better than like a group dinner or a couple's dinner. That's how I like to be social.
Yeah, same.
Sit at a table, eat food, drink.
Yeah.
And chat.
Yeah. My favorite part was after Tao. We stayed for maybe like an hour, danced a little bit. It was fun because like when have we all danced like this? You know what I mean? Like, so it was fun. We stayed for like an hour. We danced. And then we left and went to a bar that was in the casino. Mm-hmm. And we just got some cocktails and just sat around the table and just talked until like 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then because, you know, everything stays open like all night. So we talked till like 2 in the morning, and then on the way back, there is like the little food court area, and there was pizza. So we sat and had pizza for like another hour. And like, that was fun. Like that kind of a night.
Another thing I love is, another show I did in Vegas, Chris Frangiola opened for me. And we went to a place where you can have cocktails and someone sings.
Ooh, fun.
I love that. Ooh, I love that too. Like just watching a talented person sing with a band or whatever. Yeah.
So oh,
you're
love
just
that.
Just kind of chilling and enjoying a show. It's great.
We are old.
We are freaking old.
We are so
But I would have been like this at 21.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like this at 21.
I'll tell you what's great is Bruno Mars has a club. Called the Pinky Finger, the Pinky Ring, the Pinky Something.
The Pinky
And
something?
It's a live band.
Okay.
And it's like basically as if you were seeing Bruno and his band, but it's not Bruno and his band. It's,
they have the same vibe.
Yeah, it's their kind of it's their friends basically, and they play amazing music.
That's
and
cool.
A lot of Bruno songs, a lot of just, you know,
what,
current songs.
What city?
In Vegas.
Oh, in Vegas. Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
And then they go take a break and a DJ plays for a few minutes, and then they come back out and play more music, and
love
it's
it.
So fun.
I love it.
Loved it too.
Yeah, we went to Munich a couple months ago. And
Germany.
Germany. We went to Oktoberfest with Arnold.
Ooh.
Arnold.
So cool. Stop. You did not go to Oktoberfest with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Get out of here.
Yes, because we were.
Who have you become? From the Carolinas to Oktoberfest with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Isn't that wild? Well, I filmed this show with them, FUBAR.
Yeah, I know. We love that show.
And the new season will be out in a few months, or I don't know, sometime. And we filmed a little part in Prague. So we went from Prague to do Oktoberfest with him. And in the hotel, they had like a jazz band. And
oh, fun.
It was an American lady. Yeah. But she was just like, I can't remember what she was saying. I think she was just making up songs. Yeah. She was like, I've got a pen. You've got a pen. We all have pens and you've got pens. She's like,
they speak German. They don't know what I'm saying anyways.
And I was just like, this cannot be a real song. But I loved it so much.
I've got a pen. Now that's your favorite
song.
You've
got a pen. We've got pens.
I hate you.
So everyone was ignoring her and drinking, and I'm just like, we've got pens. You've got pens.
Did you ever think that you would be an action star?
Oh my God, never in a million years.
Fortune, you're an action star.
I mean, star is quite a,
no,
loose,
you're a, star.
A loose term.
You're a star. You're an action star with the action star. Oh, yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I took the job because I was like, no one's ever asked me to do this, and I don't know if they'll ever ask again. I have to do this job. It's so cool, though. I love the break from... I got to be the comedic relief on the show as well.
Yeah.
But I so just good. Loved getting to, like, run from explosions. And
oh, dream.
The second season, I was in a couple... dicey situations. Ooh. Where I was like, I could have broke my ankle there. In hindsight, you know, where you're just like, oh, that was very close to being very dangerous.
I don't know, I was doing my own stunts.
But you try not to think about it in the moment. But I've learned a lot doing it, where you know, you once you start doing that more physical acting work, you do have to sort of advocate more.
Yeah.
For your safety.
For sure.
Everybody's just trying to get the shot and get the day done, and you have to be like, whoa, 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 let's hold on.
Yeah. hold on, I jump to the other building on the roof?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And so, but it's cool. It's just, I have such a blast on that show. They'll air the second season, and then we'll see if we get to do it again. If not, you know, I'm so happy I did it.
Yeah.
Like, what a treat to
be
this big gal that does silly comedy, and they let me try to be a badass.
Yeah.
No, that was cool.
I love that for you.
So, and I've heard they're really happy with the episodes, and I think it'll be better than the first season. It's one of those shows you just watch to, like, escape, you know?
Yeah, it's fun.
It's fun. It's a cliffhanger and you just enjoy it, and you know, and Arnold is like the classic quintessential action comedy movie star.
I have a question. Did you ever get insecure? Like, you've worked with a lot of, like, A-list people in your career. Did you ever, like, in that kind of setting, being an actress on set, you know your lines, you're in this scene, and do you ever feel like in that particular situation, I'm an action star, I've never been an action star, and then in this scene, you have to go, like, pull out a gun and run and whatever, and you're like, wait a minute, do I just pretend like I know what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Or, like, just like, hey, what's up, guys? Yeah. Yeah. Action? All right, I got this.
Yeah, you just have to kind of... go into it just going like, I want to figure this out as I go.
Yeah.
But yeah, you just had to kind of have to fake it till you make it.
Uh-huh.
I'm always like a little like reserved the first couple days around those bigger stars but you just kind of have to trust that they know you are there to do good work and you're a nice person, and you don't I'm like, I don't want anything from you. I'm just here to enjoy the day.
Yeah.
And then it kind of puts them at ease, and they you know, some of these big stars are a little guarded at first, which I get. They have a lot of people coming at them from many different directions. So I just kind of chill in the background, like, you know, eating cheese at craft service. I'm not like you know, yeah, I'm not the person that's like, tell me everything about your life, you know. Let's be best friends and exchange numbers. I'm not thirsty.
Yeah, let's keep in touch.
Yeah, but they kind of come to you at some point if you're just doing good work and being a normal person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, with Arnold, just kind of, you know, slowly start chatting with them. And then, you know, a week later, I'm, you know, making fun of him and you're teasing
him.
Are
we best friends?
Yeah. I'm doing his voice to him. Oh my God. I'm like, get down, let's go, Arnold, come on. And he, you know, shakes his head and laughs. And it's, yeah, it's always nerve-wracking. Like, I had my first day working with Jennifer Garner. I had to drive her in an ambulance around a neighborhood with, like, 8 crew guys in the back of the ambulance. They're like, I've never driven an ambulance.
And right.
You're just like, nice to meet you. Like,
you're like, okay, I drive good when it's just me in the car.
God, it's so nerve wracking. You know, Jennifer Aniston, you know, she's in the back of an Uber and I'm having to pretend to be her Uber driver. And I'm doing all this improv to her, hoping she just like
plays it along.
And she, you know, and so I just kind of have to trust myself.
Oh, here's another thing, too. Like, improvising with somebody, and I keep saying like, oh, this A-list person, because even if just a regular, like if I'm sitting here and I go, oh, Jennifer Aniston, she's just a regular person, just like me, just like my next door neighbor, we're all just regular people. But then when you're on set filming something, and in this moment we are peers, because we're both in this scene together, and we're here, we are, we're showing up for each other. So in that moment, it's a little different in like a reverence for this person. Like, you've been doing this for years and years and years. You're insanely gifted at this. I have like self-doubt and imposter syndrome. And how did I even book this? What am I doing here? And action. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, there's
no pressure.
A little bit of that and improvising.
Yeah.
I did a movie with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, I remember.
And I am so grateful that I got this opportunity. But I remember our lovely director being like, you know, just improvise with him. Like, there wasn't stuff written on the page for me and the guy playing my husband.
Yep.
But it was like, just improvise. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, got it. Yeah. Done. But then when you look at the scene, like, it's a scene between him and Tracy Ellis Ross going back and forth, or him and like, it was just one of those things where I'm like, wait, you want me to jump in?
I know, it's tough.
On what they're talking? Yeah, like, you want me to just, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And there's three of us here. You want all three of us to find a moment to jump in? I honestly feel like I think I let him down in this movie. Like, I don't feel like I brought to the table amazing things for him to work with, because I really was like, how do I?
You're trying to be respectful.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, here's a legend and here's a legend.
Yeah.
And I want to like respect, like, they got their own timing. They're going back and forth and it's like double dutch. I'm like, wait.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm going to hit the ropes. I can't even. And then Lombardo, the guy who played my husband, he's hilarious and fearless because he's like, oh, no, I'm going to get in. Mm-hmm. And there was one moment in a scene. And he went for it and he yelled something out. And everybody went
like a record scratch.
And in that moment, in the scene, like, I'm holding on to him, right? And he does that, and I couldn't help myself. Like, I squeezed him so hard, and I was like, ugh. And, like, oh, I'm frozen, and my neck is tense, and I'm like, oh, my God.
You're, like, quite little, like, babe.
That's funny.
Yeah.
No.
I, even right now, I'm, like, getting a little, like, goosies thinking about, like, how I froze, and that wasn't even me, but that was what I felt I was like dealing with. So I, if you're watching right now, our
lovely director Reggie, my apologies for not being amazing on.
I'm sure that you.
But I feel like it. If you give me another chance with some written dialogue, then I can improvise off of that.
I know my cues. Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard to get in on when there's these big names.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people. It's to find your moment is not easy. It's helpful when the director helps give a little space for that sometimes.
Yeah.
It just depends on the scene. I mean, my kind of thing on improvising in movies is I'll do it as written with them, you know, the first couple times. And as long as the director says I can, after like the third take, I'll go.
Yeah.
And but I usually try to say something pretty wild to see how the person reacts. I'm a very small part in this movie coming up called You're Cordially Invited, and I don't know what of my stuff made it in. I think a big this whole thing I improvised with Reese Witherspoon, I think probably got cut just because it had nothing to do with anything. But you have to kind of take some wild swings,
because
you really never know if a director will be like, why not, let's just throw it in there. But yeah, I was just supposed to like I think it's trying to turn like a tiny thing into a bigger thing. If you, and maybe it won't fit with the movie or the length of the movie, but I think I was just supposed to, she's supposed to stare at this house, and I just kind of yell like, what are you doing? And she's staring at it, and I do it as written a couple times, and then I yelled, you know, something crazy at her, and she was like, what? But then it opens this whole dialogue where, and if she plays with it, then I'll just start making up a bunch of stuff.
Did she play with it?
She was amazing and went right with it. And again, I don't think it's in the movie because no one's told me that. Like, I feel like it's something people would be like,
oh, your one scene that you
because I was talking about there being a ghost and all these crazy things visiting me and talking to me and stuff. So I love those kind of things where it's like, if this were to make it, this would be really cool, but it might never see the light of day. But I'm always like, shoot your shot, you know?
Yeah, as
long as you've done the work they hired you to do, why not?
Yeah.
So that's always my philosophy is like, take those swings. Yeah.
And let me tell you, my co-star who played my husband, he took a swing.
And sometimes there's misses. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I've had plenty of misses too, where people looked at me and I'm like, never mind.
And let me tell you, luckily, Eddie Murphy laughed it off. Like they're like, what did he say? And then they just started laughing.
Yeah.
Thank God, because it could have gone like a different way where they're like, you just took me out of the moment. Why didn't you just yell that out? But no, everybody laughed. They're like. And they got what he was trying to do.
Right.
Like he was trying to take a swing.
Yeah, because if it works, it can really take the scene down a whole other path. You know? But comedy is also, as you know, tons of misses.
Yeah. Totally. Fortune, we have already talked about so many things that we're grateful for without saying, I am grateful for this.
I am grateful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What is going on? What's swirling in gratitude for you these days?
Well, as we're filming, I know that this will air a little bit later. LA has been on fire everywhere, so everyone's on edge. And the greatest gratitude I have, seeing how much loss there is, and so much loss. I'm grateful I have a home. I'm grateful I'm alive. Those are the first two major things, you know, because you take that for granted. And, you know, a lot of people I see online are telling people like, oh, you can, you know, you'll rebuild, whatever. But there's a home is like so important to people. And if you don't have a home, that's an unbelievably difficult road. If you are lucky enough to have a home, it's your safe space.
That's right.
It's the space that you go to recharge, to hold the things most important to you.
Yeah.
Your kids, if you have kids, are there. Your spouse, or just your home. It's, that was always a thing for me as a kid, was like, one day I want my own home. Mm-hmm. I want peace in my home.
Yep.
That will be the place that I go to for myself to take care of myself. Yeah. And to do the things I need to do in life. That will be the my sacred thing. And when that's taken away from you in a blink of an eye, mm-hmm. I'm sure devastating.
Yeah.
So much gratitude that I'm lucky enough that our house is okay.
Yeah.
And then with that, people lost their lives.
Yeah.
And again, that can happen at any second. That's right. And any day. That's for right. Anyone. So I'm grateful to be alive.
You're so right when you say the home is a safe space. Whether your home is a multi-million dollar mansion or this studio apartment over here, this is your space that you share your energy with. Mm-hmm. So like I'm a big believer in energy.
Yeah.
And like, you make this your safe space. This is where you can breathe when you've just been out and busy, 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 busy. And then you get home and you can just sigh.
Let it all go.
You have your favorite blanket right here on the couch. You have, you know, your plants maybe that you feed and you water. Mm-hmm. You have your little, maybe your bird feeder or something, and then a little hummingbird comes to your window, and then you make it your space that brings you joy. Mm-hmm. Your space that you can feel connected with yourself, with God, with whoever. Mm-hmm. This is where you invite your friends over and you can entertain a dinner or something, like, come over, I want to cook for you, even if you don't have much, and you just do like taco night with your friend, and you're laughing and you're sharing that joy, and then that joy energy goes into the walls, and that's what you're feeding this space.
Yeah.
Right. And I think about, like, for everybody's home that burned down, all of that energy just like gone.
Well, you don't have that safety net anymore, you know, and the things that you cherished are gone.
Your memories. I think about even like the people who, they're like, my loved one took their last breath in this home. Mm-hmm. Mm. And this is where I felt them the most.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your childhood home, you grew up there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of trauma right now with all of these people all over LA who've lost their home and didn't have, you know, they had minutes to get out. Some people. So they have nothing. They have nothing on their backs. They're, you know, so it made me more grateful than ever to have that. And even when I didn't own a home and I, you know, had two roommates, I shared. I had two roommates for my first 10 years in LA. Mm-hmm. Just my bedroom. I could close my door.
Yeah.
That was my safe space.
Yeah.
You know, that my bed, my desk. My that stuff meant a lot to me, you know, to have that little nook that was my own. I'm in tragedy. Unfortunately, it does make you see like the importance of those things more.
Yeah. I saw something. I mean, there's been so many outlets of how to help. You know, and you've posted some. I posted some of the ones that you posted. And anytime I'm seeing like a resource that I'm like, oh, this is helpful for people, it's like free therapy for families who lost everything. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to repost that, you know. But one of them I saw was a stuffed animal replacement.
Oh, that's nice. That's so sweet.
And it's where families can go and give a description of their child's stuffy that was their favorite thing in the world.
Yeah.
And like, I know, like right now, Rosie has her bunny and that is her favorite thing. She wants to take it to the mall. She wants to take it in the crib. Yeah. She wants to take it in her high chair while she's eating spaghetti. I'm like, no, ma'am, we're not going to do that. But this is their thing that helps them feel safe. Yeah. And, you know, she just rubs the ears and holds on to it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can give a description of what it is And if you have a picture of it,
yeah,
post the picture. Or if there's like a link to it, and then anybody can then go on and buy that replacement for them and send it to them.
That's amazing.
Isn't that incredible?
That's really cool. I love that. Those are the things, because it's, you know, those are important things, because these kids now have trauma. Mm-hmm. All their stuff's gone. All their, you know.
And they don't understand. If they're at a young age, yeah, they're like, yeah, wait, why can't we go home?
Yeah.
We don't have a home anymore. Yeah. Why though?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. So give it, yeah, mm-hmm, giving them another, you know, some other security blanket.
Yeah.
While they go through this. That's cool. I hadn't seen that, but that's
really, I'll send
cool,
it to you.
Yeah.
And then we can post it.
Yeah.
What else are you grateful for?
Well, being alive. That was the other one.
Yes.
that's always number one.
Yeah.
Because you can't even have gratitude if you're not,
that's right,
around. So I'm grateful when I need to take better care of my body, but grateful it works.
Uh-huh.
It allows me to do the things I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be better to it. That's always the goal at the, yeah, top of a new year. So that's something. Grateful. I know this won't always be the case. Speaking of being alive, I have both my parents, and, yeah, and I try to acknowledge that yeah, this is fleeting, and there will come a day, mm-hmm, when, you know, one of them will be gone, both of them will be gone.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm a little bit more conscious of calling, mm-hmm, spending time, like not getting tripped up on the little things as much and the annoyances, yeah, as much.
Yeah.
'Cause I know when that day comes, uh-huh, that can't be reversed.
That's right.
So I have gratitude for this moment in time, 'cause they're here. Mm-hmm. And that's a big one.
Absolutely.
excuse me.
That's right.
Grateful for and also with that, you know, also my parents and my wife, my dog, that's also,
oh yeah,
you know, in that vein too of like everything's intact.
Fear of death, you know what I mean? Is my biggest, yeah, fear. Like, that's, mm-hmm, been something that's traumatized me since I was a young child.
Yeah.
So I fully understand where you're like, I'm grateful that so-and-so is alive. I'm like, are you, yeah, kidding me? I, at any moment, I'm all of a sudden, yeah, like, oh my God, are they breathing? Oh my, yeah, God. Are they, like,
yeah, for it's sure.
It's the whole thing. And we think about it too with like, you know, we're getting older, so our parents are getting older.
Yeah.
I am blessed to have both of my parents as well.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing, you know, one of these days I won't have them. And what is that going to be like?
Yeah.
Like, I only know life with them.
Exactly. Yeah.
What? Even though we're adults.
Yeah.
Like, I think about when my grandma passed, my mom's mom, mm-hmm, I was 19, 18 or 19, but still so young in my mind that I didn't have the capacity to like humanize my mom in that moment and realize that she just lost her mom. Mm-hmm. It was like, I was hurting because I lost my grandma. My grandma's like my best friend. I loved her so much. Yeah, and so I was hurting. And I remember seeing my mom crying on the couch, and I wish I could go back in time, mm-hmm, and show up for her like a friend to, yeah, like be like, you're just a little girl who got bigger and your mom died, yeah, and this is really hard. Like, I wish I could go and like console her and like help her.
That would have been the emotional maturity. Yeah, that been that's what beyond, I'm saying. Beyond, yeah, your years.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, I, yeah, obviously I didn't, yeah, have that emotional maturity. I wish I could have.
Most people would not have, yeah, that. You know what I mean?
And, yeah, I, but that's why I think of like, I'm grateful for, yeah, my mom, because I'm in my 40s, and then hopefully my mom doesn't die until I'm a senior citizen as well. You know what, yeah, I mean? And even then, when I'm a senior citizen, I'm still that little girl,
yeah,
whose mom just died.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to friends who, you know, have experienced it, and they're just like, enjoy it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that, that sentiment of, 'cause I'm guilty like everyone of fussing at my mom.
Uh-huh.
Ugh, why you do that? You know?
Yeah.
But I've consciously in this last year been like, stop it. Like, you can't do that anymore. Like, you got to, not that we're not gonna have little tiffs here and there. We were fussing at each other on the car ride when, you know, about something. And but, you know, there's, as an adult, you go through like hard times, and you can talk to friends for sure, but a parent is someone that you can be like, I can call anytime. Mm-hmm. There's no guilt in it. Like, let me unload this.
Yeah.
That's what they're there for, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's a that will, once they're gone, that won't be available to you in the same way.
Yeah.
That, you know, a friend can offer you. So yeah, that's a big one, and my dog and my wife and are in that category too of like, right now we're a family, and I appreciate that, and my dog's here. He won't always be here.
Oh, that one gets me.
I can't even. I look at videos and I have to keep scrolling when people are like lost their dog. I'm like, I feel horrible for you. I cannot watch this right now.
Yeah. I want to be there for you.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I'm really there with you, and I don't have capacity. So I need to leave.
That will destroy me. Mm-hmm. But it's inevitable. All of it's inevitable. Mm-hmm. So that's why the gratitude exists.
Yeah.
Grateful for my career. We talked about it earlier. I see how hard it is for people that aren't doing what they love. And when you have a job, it takes up so much of your life and your time. To have a job that you don't like would suck.
Yeah,
because it's such a big part of your life, and not only for your mental health, but also it's how you pay your bills. It's, you know, how you spend your days, who you're around. I'm so grateful.
Yeah,
I love what I do.
Yeah,
I'm doing what I want to be doing. Mm-hmm. I'm lucky enough to make a living at it. To have success in it, and so many people aren't doing what they love or even know what they want to do.
Yeah.
And just to like be clear on my passion is so big.
Yep.
And the fact that I've had any success at it is the cherry on top. So that one I don't take for granted ever.
Yeah.
Because thank God for it.
What was your big break?
Chelsea lately.
Yeah. Chelsea, I am grateful for Chelsea Handler.
Yeah.
Even though I was never on her round table, I never wanted to be because I was too scared.
Really?
I was like, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. Nope. I'm anytime I'm in a situation where there's other funny people, I fall back and I like watch you be funny. I am so grateful for the platform that she gave stand-up comedians and gave people so many opportunities to showcase themselves.
Yeah.
And that's incredible. Like her show, her roundtable, like so many comics were introduced to people, and I love that.
Yeah, same. Excuse me. Yeah, she sorry. She came into my life 2011. I got that job January 2011. I had been in LA for, at that point, would have been 8 years, plugging away, trying to figure this thing out, getting a lot of no's. No one knew what to do with me.
Yeah,
I was different.
Yeah,
I was not a feather in my cap. I was literally about to have no money to pay. Well, I had no money to pay rent. I owed my roommate $2,000.
Wow.
He was out of the country and said, just pay me when I get back. And I'm like, okay. And I submitted a writing packet. Did not think I had a snowball's chance in hell getting a job, because they hadn't even put me on the round table. I got told no.
No way.
Yeah. I got told no, that I was too, because I wasn't known. I only was known around L.A.
Sure.
As a stand-up. And I was doing Groundlings. I had done Last Comic Standing, but people weren't familiar with me, and they thought I was too low-key, too low energy, because that table's big, like you said. It's big, boisterous. And but my plan was always, like, sit back, sit back, boom. Like, you know, you can do it. It just is a timing thing. But So I didn't think I would get it because I couldn't even get on the round table. And I think it was just one of those meant to be things, you know?
Yeah.
I met with the producers. They really liked me. They brought me back to meet her. I happened to be the first person she met that day. And knowing Chelsea, she at the time did not want to waste time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she liked me, and that was that. And wow. Had I been third or fourth, yeah. It might yeah. not have happened.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think it just was meant to be.
That's so cool.
She got up in the middle of our interview. Nice to meet you. Left. I thought I blew it. And she just knew that she liked me, and that was it.
Wow.
And so wow. It changed my life because I went from being broke. No one knew who I was. No one was giving me a chance to, like, all of a sudden I'm on a writing staff making wow. a salary, insurance.
Come on.
Round table every other week.
See, I sketches. Didn't realize that you had started as a writer. I only remember yeah. you from the round table. That's so yeah, cool.
I was there every day. Very corporate. Very corporate. Yeah. 9 to 6 or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a little key card? Boop, boop.
Yeah.
Look at you. Did you have it on an elastic thing?
It was way more corporate than people would have realized.
Oh yeah,
a lot of rules. Even for a comedy show.
Where was your offices?
The first half I was there, Santa Monica. Then it moved to Universal, which was amazing because it was in the Valley, closer to me. And I loved it. I was 3 years on the writing staff, and the last year I left to go do acting, and stayed on the round table.
So cool.
And then my acting big break came through Mindy Kaling. I did a pilot when I left Chelsea. I did a pilot that was supposed to go, and then the new president got fired and the new regime came in, and that stuff always
kinda, end of the story. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that didn't happen, but it was with Tina Fey and Robert Carlock, who did 30 Rock, obviously. Mm-hmm. I pitched them like, hey, would you guys be interested in producing this? It's a sitcom based on my life. They said yes. So that was a big break in that, mm-hmm. like, I'm creating a show with these, like, unbelievable showrunners. It got bought by ABC. We filmed the pilot.
Didn't I audition for your show?
I think you did.
I'm pretty sure I did. I didn't book it. No. You didn't book me.
Well, guess what? It didn't get picked up. So you would have missed out on one day of work.
I want to say sorry, but
you're amazing. But that was a heartbreaker.
Yeah.
To film it, you get so close. Yeah. And you see what it would have been like.
Yeah.
Ooh, that killed me. But the when one door closes kind of thing that happened there mm-hmm. is that one of the writers, so the 30 Rock writers all go around and help each other out on pilots, in the punch up room.
Oh,
or at least
so
they
cool.
did. This was. That would have been 9 years ago
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or 10 years. I don't know. A long time.
Yeah.
They go help. They would help each other. And so a couple of those 30 Rock writers came to our writer's room that week. And Lang Fisher was one of them.
I love that.
And she...
I just imagine like soldiers coming in. Like is. Your backup. They're like, we got your back.
These unbelievable joke writers.
Yeah.
And then I was like watching them like, holy cow. They just, you know, joke. You're like, dang, this is crazy. It didn't go, and she told Mindy about me. There was like a 3-episode guest star thing, and she was like, you know, check out Fortune and
on the Mindy show.
Yeah, on the Mindy project. Mm-hmm. And Mindy called and said, I'd love for you to do this. I was like, that's unbelievable. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that led to a series regular on that same season, and I did that show for 3 seasons.
Love
so
that
opened my whole acting career.
Wow.
So a lot of cool people have reached back and given me opportunities.
That's so special.
I'm grateful for that.
That's really, really cool. Something about Mindy is I follow her on Instagram, mm-hmm. and I comment on her stuff as if we're friends.
Yeah.
And I forget that I've actually never met her before. But she'll post something. I'd be like, girl, yes. You.
Yeah, she's so fun. She's great. She's so cool, and she keeps creating all these hit shows. She's hired me on 2 other shows of hers. Like,
mm-hmm. yeah,
she's the best.
So cool,
and her writers' rooms are always top notch. She really takes a lot of pride in the writing of things. So she's one person I never have to improvise much. It's all on the page.
Yeah. I believe that.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Do you have any other gratitude you want to
submit? in the talking about my dog, I am so grateful for him. Just, he's my little, we both are obsessed with him. But he's,
tell us about your dog.
His name's Biggie.
I love Biggie.
He's a 10 pound. I call him a little chunky monkey. Pomeranian. Mm-hmm. Just, we're so in love with him, and we're those people that think he's our son.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I call my dog, his son.
I've been off the road now for a couple months, and so I've gotten to be at home a ton. Uh-huh. So he's been, because usually he's like with Jax all the time.
Yeah.
And he's been my little shadow for 3 months, and just really, just his presence. I've really needed it lately. Yeah. And he's such a comfort. Like, he's the best dog, and he's just, he loves us. Like, he's a little more standoffish with everybody else.
Yeah.
But he's so obsessed with us too. Yeah. But just, he just like lays against me at night, and I just pet him. Just mm-hmm. his whole aura, his whole presence just gives me the peace I need.
Everything you need.
Yeah.
Right there in a little furry package.
A little unconditional love. You need a little unconditional love, you know?
Oh, yeah.
When life gets a little dicey or you're stressed, you come home and he's so happy, and he's never not pumped.
Yeah.
You're home.
Yeah.
That's with every dog.
Do you wish you could hear his thoughts?
Oh, every day.
Yeah.
I'm like, can you just talk to me?
Yeah.
I want us to chat.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever want to send a text to your dog and just be like,
but I know his thoughts would be simple.
Yeah.
Food. Sleep. Love, kisses, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be very choppy.
I don't know. I imagine my dog's full blown sentences.
Yeah.
Like, he's full on communicating. Hey, I really missed you while you were gone, and I didn't appreciate you leaving me behind. Like, next time maybe can I come?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like
Biggie's not that sophisticated.
Oh no. Bonzo's like, very emotionally mature. Like,
me happy now.
Shout out to Biggie, who I know subscribes to this podcast.
That's right.
Yo, we love you, Biggie.
We love you, Biggie boy. Oh my little Biggie bear.
Every episode we listen to a voicemail message that somebody called and told us what they're grateful for. So we're going to listen to that now. And if you're listening or watching and you want to be one of the people that calls us and tells us what you're grateful for, here's the phone number.
747-300-5380. Give us a call.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, nice.
Look at that. Look at that. Okay, who do we
have? Hi, Angela. This is Jessica LaFlame. I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I just wanted to let you know that I'm actually grateful for you. I really enjoy your jokes. They're just so down to earth, and they're just so real. And I just really appreciate the fact that you join the comics scene. So
thank you.
I'm grateful for that. So thank you for taking my message, and have a wonderful day. And I love seeing you on Facebook and your videos. I really enjoy them. Thank you. Bye.
Aw, thanks, Jessica. Listen. Did she say Jessica the Flame? Like, is that a nickname?
I know. The Google Translate said Jessica the Flame, but I think she meant Jessica La Flame.
No.
Jessica the in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I'm going to go with the Flame. That's her nickname. That's what they call me, Jessica the Flame.
Jessica the Flame.
I love that. I know, and I love that Minnesota, my jokes. Minnesota. Yeah, that was
Facebook,
so good. Thank you.
Casserole.
Yeah. Ooh, that sounds delicious right now.
They do it upright out there.
Thank you, Jessica, for calling and sharing that. Fortune, I know on your podcast, Handsome, which you all are very, very handsome.
Thank you.
And just lovely. Like, all three of you are just really lovely people.
Well, thank you. You still got to send us a question.
That's what I'm saying. What if I just give you a question right now, or should I do it differently?
I mean, if you can.
Yeah, I'll send you this.
Send me this.
Yeah, we'll send you this. Okay. Yeah. All right. So I have a question for my handsomes.
Okay.
What are you grateful for in life, which you've already shared a few, but also what's your mattitude, which we didn't get to today.
Okay.
Your mattitude is your one thing that's making you mad these days, getting on your nerves, and then your gratitude. What are you grateful for? That's my question for you guys.
All right. Yeah. And then you have to answer it.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Oh, you answer your own question.
So, yeah, you have to answer it as well.
Okay, so.
But you have to look in the camera and answer
it. Here we go. My mattitude, I'm going to take it straight from today. We're selling our car, okay? And so we go to CarMax. Manny's like, I'm going to take the car to CarMax, and we're going to sell the car before we fly out. And he gets there and then calls me and is like, hey, the car's under your name. You actually have to be the one to come out here. I hadn't even showered yet.
Yeah.
And I have Rosie. I got to change her diaper. Got to get us both dressed, rush, get in the car.
Yeah.
Be over there. They're like, okay, you're next in line. I'm like, perfect. They're like, it should be like maybe like an hour. And I'm like, wait, hold on. I thought I was next. And then rush back home, took a shower. And I was ready like right before you walked in the door. So that's my mattitude, is like having to go waste time to go sell a car at CarMax. I guess my mattitude. My gratitude is I feel like I would say this every single day of my life, but my daughter always. I am grateful for her love for music.
Oh.
She loves music. She loves to sing. She loves to dance. She has rhythm, like she's on beat when she claps and when she dances. And even like the intro of a song, it's like music, music, music. And then it goes dun, 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 tsh, and then the beat drops, whatever. Yeah. She's full on dun, 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 tsh, like she follows the beat.
Yeah.
And she just, I love watching her love music. And that's what I'm grateful for.
Oh,
is that.
I love it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Fortune, I love you. Like, tremendously.
Same, buddy. I love you.
And I'm so grateful that you took time out of your day to come and be with me and share some gratitudes.
I'm glad I could be here. It's always nice to be grateful.
Yeah. Thanks, friend.
Thank you.
Thanks, Texty.